Jesus, and you need to wake up and realize who you are. Woo. You know what makes me sad? The color yellow. You know, and you know what? People, oh, help me, Jesus. We get so caught up on the little things that we just have our little pity parties, if you will. And this is my complaint, and this is my gripe. And the Spirit of the Lord is saying, you got to see the hour that we're living in, and you got to see that the time is now for awakening in the body of Christ, and we got to wake up and be the church of the living God, amen, and stand on the Word of God, amen. All right, are we ready to go? 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 17. When the Philistines heard, everybody say heard. When the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David. And David heard. Everybody say heard. And David heard of it and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up. Everybody say go up. How many believes it's time to go up? How many believes for too long the church has been going down? Woo. How many believes that for too long that there's been this spiral, this downward spiral, and it's time for the church to go up? Say it again. Say go up. The Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless. In other words, there's no doubt. I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. And David came to Baal-perazim, and David smote them there and said, the Lord has broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters. Therefore, he called the name of that place Baal-perazim, and they left their images, and David and his men burned them. Again, we're going to preach on a restored identity of the church. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your anointing. Wow. We thank you for your presence that's in this room. We thank you for a church that is going to arise, not a ministry, not our Father's house, but a church, the ecclesia, the called out. Those who are called by God are going to rise up, and they're going to storm the gates of hell, and they're going to take back territory that the enemy has stolen. We're going to take back our families. We're going to take back our jobs. We're going to take back, wow, we're going to take back our finances. We declare and proclaim that, and we decree it in the name of Jesus. And the church says, amen. Come on, say it again, say amen. Amen. Now, I want to take my time this morning. I feel like I've got a very important word. I was telling Pastor Helton there, I said, you need to pray for me, man, because this is one of those words that the enemy don't want you to deliver. But I feel like what God is calling us to do is to move from, you gotta hear, and I'm gonna take my time here because there's some very important things I feel like the Lord has spoke to me, and you need to hear what the Lord is wanting us to hear. I feel like it's time for us to go to an apostolic and prophetic paradigm and move away from, oh glory, and move away from just a totally pastoral paradigm. Uh-oh. What's that mean? That means the church moving into their proper place in the plan of God and the kingdom of God. You know what it is? It sums it up, Justin. It's the model of the church in the book of Acts. Amen? It's time for us to become that type of church. It's time for massive breakthrough. Amen? Y'all got to help me this morning now. How many will agree it's time for the church to get past a Sunday morning bless me mentality and to move into a massive breakthrough to where we're going to take territory for the cause of Christ? Amen? How many's tired of the enemy wreaking havoc over your home? Amen? We're going to get there now. It's time for massive breakthrough personally, corporately. It's time for every part of our lives, our finances, How many of these, we're talking about somebody coming here and dropping a huge check in the offering to help us to be able to build a building here. How many believe God can just bless the finances of people here and we can just start giving like crazy? And then on top of that, God's going to start blessing even more. I need some people to help me this morning. I'm going to preach on massive breakthrough. Restoring the identity of the church. It's time for every place that the enemy has seemingly opposed you, it's time for a massive breakthrough in that area. Amen? What about your thought patterns? What about attitudes? What about what we view on TV? What about what we view on the internet? Oh, let me preach. Now, here's the deal. Prophetic word is coming from this pulpit. But you got to hear what I'm telling you right now. I don't know if I've ever told you anything any more important. Prophetic word is coming from the pulpit through our pastors. But it has to be acted upon by the church. Woo, I'm going to preach from 2 Samuel here in just a second, but I'm going to tell you something. The prophetic word that's coming from this pulpit, Elder Rice, if I don't say anything else today, I think that's one of the most important statements I've made. And if we'll take that and move. Yeah, we're preaching prophetic word. God has spoken in the past months. He has spoken prophetic word from this pulpit. He's increasing that in Pastor Helton and Pastor Solace and the words that they're speaking from this church, from this pulpit. But I'm going to tell you something. It has to be acted up on by the church, or it's just nothing more than just a good message. We pat them on the back and we say, man, that was a good word you preached, Justin. But it's time to start acting up on the word. Ooh, oh, glory. I said it's time to start acting up on the word. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. If we don't act up on the word, God's going to take this word somewhere else to a people that will act up on it. That's going, oh glory, not just the needy people, but the people say, I take what you're hearing and I'm going to run with it, Pastor. Yes. I feel a supernatural anointing coming. Glory. The Lord said, without the response of the church moving into these words, the word is not activated. It's just a word. I'm going to say that again. Without the response of the church moving into these words, the word is not activated. And the church does not move forward. And what happens? The plan that God has gets delayed. Are y'all receiving that? If we don't move upon the word, then it's not activated. And God has a plan. Maybe God has a plan. But what happens is the plan gets delayed because we don't act upon the word. And we're waiting for something to prod us. We're waiting for something to move us. That's why Greg said such a good word. I'll give you a truck if you'll step up. Oh, and we look at God as a bless me thing. God, you know, I'll get a blessing if I go to church. No, God's saying you need to step up and serve me and work for me and build up the kingdom of God, even though you don't see that you may not get anything in return. But I want you to build my kingdom, not just, you know what Jesus said? He said, it's easy to love your enemies. It's easy to give to them or to love those that's going to give back to you. But when you start loving your enemies and loving those that you're not going to get anything back from in return, that's a little more difficult. It's time for us to say, I don't care if they come through that door and they don't have a dollar to put in an offering plate. We just want to see them receive something from God. We want to see somebody's life change. We want to see somebody set free. Oh, come on. Can somebody help me preach this morning? Second Chronicles 20:20. Look at this verse. Daniel, is he in the house? And Brian are still downstairs. I'm going to need them just a second. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Jacob, can you throw that one up there, please? I want you to see this verse. Look at it. I'll read it. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Believe in the Lord, your God. Okay, wrong verse. Maybe it's 1 Chronicles. Anyway, I've got it. Believe in the Lord your God and be established. You don't have to. That's good, Jacob. The second part of the verse says, believe the prophets and prosper. So, you know, I was studying that verse, Elder Curtis, and what the Lord said to me was, there's a lot of churches established, but there's not a lot of churches prospering. They have believed the Lord and been established as the church, but they're not prospering because they have not believed what the prophet said and acted upon it. So much prophetic word has come forth, and we got to act upon it. Amen? We got to do what thus says. We got to become doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Now, I understand that there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. I understand that the wind's going to blow. I understand that. But what did Jesus say in the book of Matthew? He said, he who builds his house upon the rock, that house is going to stand. He who builds it on sand, that house is going to fall, right? So can we say in the midst of all the chaos in the world, in the midst of all the turmoil, if we'll obey the word of the Lord and walk in obedience to what the prophets are saying, that God is going to bless us and he's going to prosper us, right? Oh, y'all ain't hearing me, right in the middle of all of it. Do you believe that? If you believe it, say amen. Now let's look at our text. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Oh, man. Verse 17. When the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, and the Philistines came in to seek David, David heard of it, went down to the hold. Now here's what's happened here. This is a picture of a transformation, and this is what's happened in many of you recently. It's a picture of moving from the flesh to moving into the spirit. Saul is a picture of the flesh. Saul was man's choice as king, and God rejected Saul. You guys know the story. David is now anointed king. It's a transfer to the spirit. But now, listen, the flesh don't want to give up very easily. So when the transfer, the anointing was gave over to David, and the Philistines heard of it, the flesh, if you will, heard of it, they did not like that. The flesh don't want the spirit to reign. Amen. The flesh, you know, the flesh wants to lie on the couch and say, you know what upsets me? I don't like this. Oh, I'll be good. I don't like this about the church. I don't like that about the church. Amen. That the flesh wants to lie on the couch and just whine and complain about its problems and where it is, but the spirit man is saying, arise and be who I've called you to be. Amen. It's a battle, Randy. It's a battle. It's a picture of the spirit reigning and the flesh not wanting to give up. So David had just been anointed king over Israel. David had just been crowned king over Israel. He is also, at this point, the king over Judah. He has just defeated the Jebusites in the previous chapter. He's taken Jerusalem, which, look, y'all got to hear what I'm telling you now. He's taken Jerusalem, which was a stronghold of the Jebusites, and he has now set up his kingdom there, and the Philistines hear about this. When they hear about this, and they heard he had been anointed, they came after him. Sound familiar? How many felt that? When they heard about his anointing, so when you start moving forward in your purpose, where's Blake at? Purpose. Heard he preached an awesome message at First Priority, his first message this week on purpose. The purpose God has for you in your life. When you start moving forward in purpose and your destiny in the Lord, the enemy's going to bring everything he can to stop you. Amen? He does not want you to move forward, and you got to hear what's happening around here threatens the kingdom of darkness. You got to get outside this box here, and this thing is supposed to be going a lot bigger than just confined into this one little space. Oh, somebody needs to hear me this morning. Woo, I feel like I'm about to fall over. It's time to broaden our horizons. And not just fight a battle from week to week, but to walk in victory and advance the kingdom of God. Come on, will somebody give God praise in this house? from darkness to God's kingdom, from the reign of Saul to the reign of David. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king, they mobilized their forces, if you will, and went to capture him. But David was told they were coming, so he went to the stronghold. The Spirit of the Lord will let us know what the enemy's plans are. He'll speak to us and give us advance notice of what the enemy's going to do. In verse 18, look at verse 18. The Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Verse 18, the Philistines arrived and they spread out across the valley of Rephaim. Rephaim is the valley of giants. You know what it speaks up? Intimidation. Oh, help us, Jesus. In 1 Chronicles 14, it actually says, they raided. They came in and they raided the land. They plundered the land. They stripped the land. They invaded the land. They raped the territory. It was not just a show of force, but they raided the valley, trying to intimidate. Can I tell you, it's time for the church to stop being intimidated. Oh, Jesus, somebody needs to hear this word this morning. It's time for the church of the living God to stop being intimidated. Amen. I'm going to say it again. It's time for us to stop being intimidated, and it's time for us to no longer be hemmed in. So David asked the Lord, should I go out to fight? And will you hand them over to me? And he's inquiring of the Lord, and the Lord says, yeah, I'm going to hand them over. He says, go ahead. I'm going to give you power, and I'm going to hand them over to you. How many knows if we'll hear the voice of the Lord, and no matter what the enemy brings our way, if we'll rise up as the church of the living God, we can go and take the land that God has promised to his people. It's time for us. How many knows that the enemy's had way too much space? He's had way too much space in our homes, and I'm gonna say this, he's had way too much space in our minds. Amen? Well, somebody say amen. Jacob, put up Acts 13. I want you to see this. Daniel, come up and help me. Where's Brian at? I need Brian. Get our drummer. There he is. Brian is in the house. Come on up, man. I started studying this, man. I tell you, it just messed me up. Everybody say, Saul the flesh, David the spirit. Saul, man's choice. David, God's choice. Oh, glory. Saul operating in, you don't have to say this part. Saul operating in the flesh. David operating in the spirit. Oh, what did David say when he came against intimidation? What did David say about that giant? You come against me with a spear and a sword, I come against you. And the armies of the living God. Power. Somebody say power. Time to take back your homes. Oh glory, it's time to take back our children. Oh glory, it's time to take the enemy's camp. It's time to take back drugs. Push it back. Oh come on, somebody hear me. Drug addiction has to bow in the name of Jesus. I said drug addiction has to bow in the name of Jesus. We've walked for too long. We've walked past the drug, oh glory, to get in the church to get our blessing. It's time for us to walk in authority. Oh, but pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. I understand people struggle at times. There's struggles in life. But I'm going to tell you something. We got to rise above it and say, I am the anointing of God. I am royalty. I am a peculiar person. And I'm going to show forth the praises of him who called me out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And we'll get a Peter. We'll get that same type of blessing that they had in the jail cell. Amen. How many of these we can praise our way through it? Oh, I could turn you loose right now, and I believe you could praise your way through it. I said you can praise your way through it. Oh, glory, I want you to see something. Acts 13, 22. You got that one, Jake? When he had removed him, speaking of Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. So he had removed Saul And he gave the kingdom to David, a man after his own heart. God is looking for somebody that's going to go after his heart. I know I've got this in my notes somewhere, but can I tell you, God is, oh, help us, Jesus. God is not looking for a needy people. Now, don't get mad at your pastor. We all have needs at times, I myself as well. But God is not looking for a needy people that hasn't prayed all week and just shows up at church and wants their needs met. I told you we was going to have some meat this morning. God's looking for somebody. He's looking for somebody that's after his heart. And when he finds somebody that's after his heart, he's going to give them the kingdom. They got the keys. They got the keys of David. A man after his own heart. Here's the deal. You see, put verse 36 up, Jacob. I want you to see this. Oh, this is where it gets good. For David, after he had served his own generation, by the will of God, fell on asleep and was laid to his father and saw corruption. David, after he had served. Everybody say served. Come on, say it again. Say served. David was not self-serving. He was not self-seeking. He was not serving his desires, his plans. Amen? How many believes it's time for sacrifice? And you nailed it. You nailed it. You nailed it, Greg. I mean, if we think we're getting something back, we're willing to do. But God says, you just need some people that's willing just to not be self-serving and just say, God, I'm just going to give out everything I have to you. I'm just all, oh, glory. We're still preaching surrender. I'm just all in, God. If we'll do that, God's going to show up in a way we've never seen God show up. Because we're no longer a self-serving people. We're no longer a self-needy people. We're no longer self-seeking people. I thought this was interesting. The word served. It's the Greek word huperato. Probably mispronouncing, but don't matter. The word huperatos literally means an under rower. You know what an under rower is? It is someone that is a rower on a big galley ship. An under rower. Amen? 1 Corinthians 4:1 says, let a man so account of us as the members of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. We are those servants. We are supposed to be under rowers. Now, what does an under rower do? Come here and help me. Sit right here. Come here, Elder Rice. Help me. Come here, Elder Curtis. Come here, Greg. Please. Help me out. Just sit down here, guys. Sit down here. You on this side. You on that side. It don't matter. Two on each side. What under rowers did, they got in the belly of the ship. For David, after he had served, David, after he had served, after he had huperato, after he had done what God called him to do, oh, the church is getting ready. If you'll hear this word, the church is getting ready. You think you've seen revival and you think you've seen awakening. The church is getting ready to advance. Under rowers got in the belly of the ship, if you will. And the first thing they did was they rowed to the captain's beat. I said they rowed to the captain's beat. In order sometimes to keep as many as 150 oars together. The rhythmic beat was sounded on a drum by the rowing mate. Each slave, each servant in the galley had to pull on the oar in time with the beat. How many's ever seen the movie Ben-Hur? those guys in that ship. Have you seen that? I need a beat. A little slower. It's boom, 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 boom. We got to get some rhythm here, guys. We got to get some rhythm here. Woo. Okay, hold up. Hold up. Hold up. I think you guys just did a good job helping preach this word. First, they had to be in rhythm with the captain's beat. And that guy, we should have rehearsed this, but that guy, that's my bad. That guy would hit that drum. As he would hit that drum, boom, 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 boom. And then each side would row in unison, pulling that ship forward on every beat of the drum, listening to the captain's beat. Let's try it one more time. Come on, let's try it one more time. Come on, guys. I knew I should have got Dwayne up here. Okay, we're getting closer. We're getting closer. We need one more rower. Charles, come here on this side. Okay, you guys getting there? We're getting better now. Now you got a picture. You got a picture. We're talking about at times 150 oars. Second, first they listened to the captain. Second, they had to row together. Sometimes the oars would be up to 30 feet in length. And they were pulled by up to three rowers. But the huperatos quickly learned that one could not lean on the oar. You couldn't have one leaning on the oar. Oh, I'm about to preach. The other pushing on the oar and the other pulling the oar. They all had to work as a team. Because if one's leaning on the oar, you're having to carry that one. One's pushing on the oar. He's keeping you from going forward. Oh, I'm about to preach. You know what? You know what? I'm just going to jump on ahead and say it, folks. It's time for us to quit petting the demons on Sunday morning and get up in rhythm with the heartbeat of God and start rowing to advance the kingdom of God. It's time for us to quit petting attitudes and saying, oh, just come on in with your demons and we'll pet your demons. Amen. Make us feel good, Pastor. Make us feel good, worship leader. And we'll go home the same way, but we'll come back next week needing the same thing. Oh, no, we got to get in rhythm. Somebody needs to help me preach. We got to get in rhythm and get alignment with God and say, we're going to advance the kingdom. Come on, help me, man. Woo. Oh, y'all, are y'all hearing me?